Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here for what looks to be shaping up to be a relatively quiet news day for Tesla. A lot of the attention and focus on SpaceX today, rightfully so. So it gives us a good opportunity to check in on what's going on there. We haven't done that for a while. I know we've got a pretty wide range of audience in terms of how closely people follow SpaceX, so just a good opportunity to catch people up that maybe don't follow every single day. Of course, we do have some Tesla news to talk about as well, but I am recording this a little bit earlier in the day than usual, so there's a good possibility that something else still comes out during the rest of the day. If that is the case, I'll be sure to share my thoughts on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, so keep an eye out for that if it seems like some sort of breaking news happens the rest of the day. All right, so looking at what's going on with SpaceX today, yesterday we heard from Elon that SpaceX was looking to stack Starship 20 and Booster number 4. That's a big milestone because those are the two vehicles that, in combination, will eventually lead SpaceX to Mars. Yesterday, though, Elon said that the winds were too high, so looking to stack early tomorrow morning, that is today, and that stack did happen. So Elon tweeting out some beautiful photos of this stack, which together stands at about 120 meters high, about 390 feet, basically the size of a giant building. I actually checked, and if it were a building, it would be the eighth tallest building in Milwaukee. Michael Sheets on Twitter asked Elon how it felt to see it fully stacked. Elon said, quote, "Dream come true," end quote. Hopefully just one of a series of dreams that will come true over the next few years for Elon, SpaceX, and Starship. So shortly after stacking these up, they unstacked them. They still have work to do on both vehicles. This was a fitment test, obviously a good photo and PR opportunity as well. But the eventual plan here is to stack these up again and do a test launch with them at some point. When that is unclear. SpaceX hopes that it'll be this year. But as I mentioned, still work to do on both vehicles, and they're still waiting for the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, to review and approve that test launch. When they are ready to do that, Super Heavy, the booster, number 4 in this case, will obviously act as the first stage, so it'll launch the vehicle. It will separate from Starship, so the upper stage. Then in the test flight, booster number 4 will come back and splash down in the Gulf of Mexico. In future iterations, Super Heavy will land, but SpaceX won't attempt that for this test flight. Anyway, then Starship will carry on in orbit, do a lap around the Earth, and then it will splash down in the Pacific Ocean near Hawaii. So that's a major, major test for us to look out for, but on the path to that, there will still be static fires and other tests for both of these vehicles, and I'll try to mix in updates on that when we've got them. But in terms of today, just really exciting to see these finally fully stacked, kind of that first physical manifestation of what the future is going to be for SpaceX. Moving on from SpaceX then, we did talk yesterday about part of the White House's announcement being that the EPA was submitting a new proposal for stricter emission standards for model year 2023 through 2026. Bloomberg dug through that proposal and found some of those numbers. So the new proposal would mandate fleet-wide vehicle mileage of 52 miles per gallon by 2026, which is up from 40 miles per gallon this year. So 12 miles per gallon maybe doesn't sound all that big of a step, but that is a 30% improvement in terms of efficiency there for model year 2026, which really happens in, you know, the second half of 2025, so essentially 4 years from now. So the EPA said it would be a 10% reduction in model year 2023, and then 5% emissions reductions each year after through 2026. So we heard a lot from President Biden yesterday about removing the rollback that the previous administration had made on the Obama-era regulations, but it doesn't look like this EPA proposal quite gets there. Bloomberg noting that this proposed rule would reach a projected industry target of 171 grams of carbon dioxide per mile, whereas the Obama rule would have given a standard of 163 grams per mile for model year 2025, so a full year earlier. So obviously a step up from where the previous rollback had put things, but not quite back to the level that had previously been set out. And I do also believe that this is for light-duty vehicles, so heavy-duty vehicles would then fall under different standards, potentially leaving some loopholes available. So Bloomberg here's got a quote from Dan Becker, the director of the Center for Biological Diversity's Safe Climate Transport Campaign, said that, quote, "I don't feel comfortable that those percentage numbers accurately reflect what the proposal does," end quote. They've also got a comment in here from David Cook, senior vehicles analyst with the Union of Concerned Scientists, saying, quote, "It's definitely an improvement. It's better than what we thought. It's still not where we need to be. There are still plenty of loopholes and flexibilities that undermine what could be a very strong rule," end quote. So I think pretty understandably mixed reactions there. And it does sound like the EPA is working on a separate proposal for heavy-duty vehicles, but it doesn't look like those would be really implemented until 2027, which definitely leaves a lot to be desired, I think. If you do feel so inclined to share your feedback with the EPA, they are accepting public comments on this proposal until September 27th. Next here, just a quick check-in on a story that I've been following for, I guess, kind of most of this week, but this is about Model S deliveries, and it does sound like there's still a lot of, I don't know, frustration with customers and delivery dates for the Model S, particularly on the long-range version, that continue to get pushed back. A number of order holders here on the Model S forum on TMC sharing their stories and frustration with continued delays. Obviously never fun for those customers, and it does put up a bigger question mark around production. At the start of the quarter, we of course had those containment holds, and at least that has been cleared now, but it does still seem like production has been relatively slow, especially for those long-range versions. Maybe Tesla's just shifting over production to be more Plaid. Obviously that would be higher revenue, higher margin, and it does seem like those deliveries are continuing, but definitely something we'll be keeping an eye on throughout the rest of the quarter. As for the Model X, still not really seeing much news there. Next here, just a quick item from Twitter. Elon was asked about the advancement of Tesla's AI and just a large fleet collecting so much data, if Tesla could ever overtake Waze, which obviously has users report things like construction or potholes, and this person was asking if Tesla could eventually automatically route away from those roads via self-driving without the owner even knowing, Elon replying to that saying, probably. So a few questions there and a one-word response, but I am glad that the question was asked and that Tesla's thinking about it a little bit. I would love for that to happen sooner rather than later. I just had a 1,000-mile trip last weekend and I was thinking about that because I had Waze up on my phone, was reporting some things, and it would be nice if Tesla had that functionality with, again, that huge fleet that is building up right now. Next here, another Tesla solar and energy project to talk about. We had previously talked a couple weeks back about one that was happening in Austin. Now we've got a new project happening in Florida. This is called Panther National, which is a new luxury residential development with 218 homes. So they're going to use Tesla solar panels, Powerwall, and Tesla wall connector chargers to, quote, enable residences to achieve energy independence, end quote. So obviously in the grand scheme of things, a relatively small project, but we just continue to see more and more projects like this pop up. The trend is pretty clear, and it's always exciting to learn about them. All right, last couple of items here. So we did talk yesterday about Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. I had mentioned in passing that he actually owned a Tesla. I'm actually not sure if that is the case. That may have just been an urban legend that I had come across at some point in time, and I obviously don't want to be a part of perpetuating that. If it is not true, from what I can see online, it looks like he owns a Chevy Cruze, and unfortunately I don't remember where I had first seen that, so unless we can find evidence to the contrary, probably best to assume that that is not the case. So my apologies on that front, and then kind of the last thing here, just something to look forward to next week. We should be getting the July China numbers from the CPCA. I think that'll happen, usually it's around the 8th or so. So maybe that'll happen on Monday in China and Sunday here in the US. So that report will be wholesale and retail sales, so more aligned with deliveries, but should give us a little bit of insight on production, which obviously I care a lot more about. We're probably not going to get production numbers until probably the 3rd or 4th week of August, if we get them at all. But obviously the market is really keyed in on Tesla in China right now, so there's going to be a lot of eyes on that report whenever it does come out. So that'll wrap it up for me for the day and for the week. If any news does come out, again, I apologize. I did have to record a little bit earlier, but check Tesla Podcast on Twitter for that. But I hope everybody has an excellent weekend. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications, and I'll see you again on Monday for the August 9th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.